Chapter 1. Lost in the Woods. My fingers wrapped tightly around the smooth shaft of my makeshift knife, the fang of a saber-toothed tiger. My breath quickened as I crept through the dark forest. I stumbled over a root and reached out my arms to steady myself. My parents had warned me not to stay in the woods after dark. "Seth, we're not living in the Garden of Eden anymore," Abba often said. "The world is a dangerous place now because of the curse." The curse had made our lives miserable. Abba worked hard in the fields with little to show for his efforts. Ima's frequent sighs and slumped shoulders made me wish I could cheer her up. And scars covered my arms and legs from hacking through briars every time I went out to gather kindling. I had gone into the woods after dinner to collect firewood, like Abba had asked me to. But I accidentally wandered off the path. I squinted into the fading light, trying to find the way home. A screech echoed through the treetops, and I froze. Territorns. These giant, meat-eating vultures were some of the fiercest creatures the king had created. Right up there with woolly mammoths, dinosaurs, and saber-toothed tigers. Not to mention the invisible dragon. Abba said the animals used to be friendly. When he and Ima had lived in the garden, they could pet and ride them. I couldn't imagine trying to ride a tyrannosaur. And get my head bit off? No thanks. But everything had changed after the curse. Now, I couldn't walk through the woods without savage beasts stalking me. I gripped my weapon tighter, holding it in front of me. The white gleam of the tooth reflected the moonlight. The screech sounded again, echoed by several others. Powerful wings crashed through the treetops as the Territorn circled closer. Great. Abba had told me stories of Territorns grabbing innocent goats and flying off with them to their nests. I didn't want to be dinner for a baby Territorn. Where could I hide? There. A pile of boulders. I dropped my bundle of sticks and squeezed myself between two large rocks. Trying to make myself invisible, I pulled my limbs in tight and squeezed my eyes shut. Should I ask the king for help? Nah. What good would that do? The king had abandoned us, hadn't he? He'd kicked Ima and Abba out of the garden. I didn't trust the king to rescue me. I'd have to fend for myself. Another screech. Feet scuffled on the ground, beaks pecked and snapped. I slowly opened my eyes and risked a peek at the ferocious creatures. 10-foot wings stretched on either side of the birds' bodies. Long talons curled into the dirt, and fanged beaks tore at hunks of meat. The Territorns had found the rotting carcass of an antelope and were diving in for their evening meal. Gross! But at least they weren't ripping me to shreds. I released the breath I had been holding. I stayed in my hiding place until the scavengers finished. It didn't take long. Within minutes, they had picked every piece of meat from the antelope skeleton. The flock vaulted into the night sky, screaming with delight. My muscles relaxed. That was close. The Territorn attacks were becoming more frequent. Last week, Abba chased one away from our sheep. Next time, I might not be so lucky. I emerged from between the boulders, scraping my back on the rough stone. Clean, white bones lay on the ground. I made a mental note to return later and salvage what I could from the skeleton. Antelope bones would make perfect bows and arrows. The moon emerged from behind clouds, shedding light on the forest floor. In the distance, the path twisted like a snake through the trees. Thank goodness! I gathered up the sticks and slung the satchel over my shoulder. I sucked in a deep breath and headed for home. Ima would be worried sick. The Dragon. The dragon watched from the shadows as Seth continued through the forest. He narrowed his eyes and fire churned in his belly. If he could distract this human child, convince him the king had abandoned him and didn't love him, then perhaps the dragon could thwart the king's plan. In the Garden of Eden, the dragon had deceived the boy's parents. He had convinced Adam and Eve to reject the king. The dragon wriggled with delight at the memory. Now that was a glorious day. Disguised as a harmless snake, the dragon had tricked Adam and Eve into doubting the king's goodness. "Don't you want to be more like the king?" he had asked.
The king is holding out on you. He doesn't want what's best for you. And they fell for it. The expression on Adam's face, first pleasure, then sickening horror when he realized the treachery, sent a rush of adrenaline through the dragon's limbs. I'll never forget that moment. The dragon followed Seth at a distance, not wanting to draw attention to himself. The humans couldn't see him, but he didn't want the boy to sense his presence. Not yet. He shook his scaly head. What did the king see in these inferior creatures? When the king first created humans, he treated them like his best friends. The dragon's jealousy had burned deep from the beginning. He had schemed his revenge since the king kicked him out of heaven. And what would hurt the heart of the king more than to have his prized creations, his most precious children, rebel against him? The dragon wrinkled his nose in disgust. It had been a perfect plan. If Adam and Eve disobeyed, the king would have to reject them. He would have to punish them. The dragon curled his talons into a fist and slammed it into the ground. Like he did to me. The plan had worked. Sort of. The king had kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden and cursed the whole world. Now thorns and thistles covered the land, and the poor little humans had to endure sadness and pain. A smile crept to the corners of the dragon's mouth. Human suffering meant another blow to the heart of the king. The dragon spread his scaly wings and flexed his muscular legs. He launched off the ground and navigated through the trees, following Seth. He had him right where he wanted him.
I emerged from the canopy of trees surrounding our family farm. Smoldering embers glowed in the fire pit, while smoke tendrils curled into the sky. Ema crouched by the fire, adding logs so it wouldn't go out overnight. Two of my little brothers chased each other with palm branches through the dirt. My baby sister lay in a basket, swaddled in a wool blanket. I hefted the sack of firewood off my shoulder. Ema glanced up as I approached. "Oh, thank the king!" She rushed forward and pulled me into a tight embrace. "I thought you had been eaten. I'm so glad you're all right." She brushed away a tear. "It's okay, Ema. I got lost, but I'm fine now." I kissed her cheek and then released myself from her grip. Ema was extra protective of me, even though I was the oldest child at home. I loved her dearly, but I wished she would trust me more. I was almost 12 years old. Abba emerged from the doorway. At 140 years, he was strong and handsome, but hours in the sun every day had wrinkled the skin around his eyes. "There's my boy. Your mother was worried about you, but I told her you know this forest like the back of your hand." "Hi, Abba," I grinned up at him. Abba walked over and tussled my hair. "Thanks for getting the firewood, but you know it isn't safe for you to be out after dark. Your mother was right about that. Any number of beasts could have attacked you. And we especially need to watch out for the dragon." I shuddered. The invisible dragon scared me more than any of the ferocious beasts lurking about. I could defend myself against Teratorns and woolly mammoths, but how could I fight something I couldn't see? "I'm sorry, Abba. I didn't mean to make you worry." Ema blew her nose into a large leaf. I patted her arm. She worried about me, but it was more than that. I sometimes heard her crying at night when she thought everyone was asleep. Without the curse, maybe Ema could be happy again. Maybe Abba wouldn't have to work so hard. And maybe I wouldn't risk becoming dinner for baby Teratorns. I snapped a stick in half and threw it into the fire. If only there was a way to break the curse.